Thanks for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We are so blessed that you tune in or stay tuned after Candace's talk about Open Door Mission. And we are continuing in Genesis 12, 1 through 9 and 15, 1 through 20. And today we're going to continue to examine what we learn about God in these passages.
I really look forward to this. Okay, so today we're going to hit on God's five I wills. And so we're going to see that God is, he's not only clear in how he gives directions, he's not only very thorough in how he communicates, he desires so much for us to enter into this relationship and what he's doing. He's also going to show us how he blesses, and he very clearly tells Abram the blessings he's going to give him. Okay, so let's read and see.
Starting in Genesis 12, 1 through 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord, who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev. So we're going to skip to chapter 15. In between these chapters 12 through 15 are some battles. So starting in 15, verses 1 through 20. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to the land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadamites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgites, and Jebusites."
And all the ites. May God honor the reading of his word. That's so good. Our God is a generous God. He is so generous. And I've said it multiple times on the radio. I'm so astounded by God's generosity. I pray for myself. I pray for us at Grace. I pray for my family and for my church that we be known as a people to be a generous people. Because God is generous to his people. And for us, we are called to be a generous people. That should be something, a trait, a quality of a true believer in Christ, a follower of Christ. It should be evident to all we are a generous people. That is one of those things that should be evident. And in this, we are given, they refer to these as the five I wills of God that he gives to Abram. And he just starts off right off the bat. He tells him, I want you to leave all this stuff, but look what I am going to do for you. So as God's giving him this invitation, he's blessing him and he's showing him what he's going to bless him with. And so if you'll go to verses, Genesis 12, verse 2 through 3, he gives five I wills. And if you guys want, you go ahead and let's pull them out. Just share with us what they are. What does he say?
I will make you a great nation. I will bless you.
I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More. Keep going.
Bless verse those 3. Who bless you.
I will bless those, yeah. And what else?
What are they going to do?
Whoever curses you, I will curse.
Yeah. So one of those is like, don't worry. They're going to mess with you. I'm going to mess with them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
I've
my
got
goodness.
Your back.
Right, right. Okay. I want us to think on these. I'm going to make you great. Mm. Not just great, but nation great. Okay. And I love there's a verse in Isaiah, I can't remember the exact address at the moment, but it says God uses that which is small to change nations.
Mm.
So here is an example of how God does that. He chose Abram. He was small, came from pagan culture, pagan family, pagan worship. God chose him because he could see he was willing to act in righteousness, and he is going to use him to make him into a great nation. So much so, in Genesis 15, he takes him out and says, look at the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Your descendants will be as great as the stars in the sky. And so he takes that, which is small, to change nations. He says, I will bless you. And blessing in so many ways, the blessing of his presence, the blessing of being with his people, the blessing of hearing directly from God, all that you could think of in that, he's going to make his name great.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says that great is the reputation of the one who passes who has a good reputation, that there is great honor for somebody that has passed away that has a great name. And God says, I'm going to make your name great.
And he also blesses him with a son because he needed somebody of an heir.
Right.
That was a great blessing to him.
And if we go into Abram's behavior in Genesis 15, where he's like, but God, why you haven't given me a child? And is my slave is going to be the one that receives all this? The commentators say, you know, God could have addressed that he was whining or having a pity party or at that point even lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't. He chose to go ahead and say, no, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I'm going to bless you. This is what's coming. It will be your own child. And then he takes it even a step further and says, somebody blesses you, I'm going to bless them. And if they curse you, I will curse them. And that is huge,
mm-hmm.
huge comfort for me. I can remember when our house flooded and I was getting angrier. I was a very pregnant woman. And frustrated. We had been through so much with the loss of everything, so drastic. And then to be pregnant on top of that, it's like, watch out. Don't mess with the big mound. And somebody told me, be wise in how you choose your battles, because we have these contractors rebuilding our home. And just, you know, they're the person that's going to, they can either do it well or they can do it poorly. So you need to think well. And so... That was great wisdom for mm-hmm. me in choosing when to fight and when not to, and trusting that if somebody's not doing something as they should, that God will mete out the discipline necessary to make that happen. And so trusting God.
Yeah.
Going back to what we learned on the first session.
Because okay. He says he'll fight the battle for us.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the five I wills. So we've learned he gives clear directions, he communicates in many ways, and then he shows how he blesses. He challenges them to walk by faith. The other is do you understand he appeared to him?
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture gives three different times in Genesis 12, 7, 17:1, and 18:1, where he gives a specific time of appearance with Abram. This one I thought was really cool is that the promises that he gives here, these promises are spoken 37 times in the Torah.
Hmm.
That's the first five books of the Bible. 37 times. So do you think God wanted him to understand his promises very clearly? Okay.
That's why it's repeated in the New Testament for us too. Constantly
exactly.
repeated what we need to remember.
And as I thought about the repetition of the promises, it occurred to me, God really wants to slay our doubts and our fears. Mm. And so you had brought up, Sandy, I think in session two, about the fact that he tells him, do not be afraid, at the beginning of Genesis 15. Well, he has fought and defeated five kings in between 12 and 15. And he's had the issue with Lot. All of this stuff. The issue happened with Lot because Lot was part of his disobedience. He had partial obedience. God said, leave your family. And what did he do? He took his nephew. Mm-hmm. His immediate family was who he was allowed to have. It was not. Mm. And so,
extended.
And so what happened is he did partial obedience, and because of that, it caused all kinds of conflict when he took Lot along. And so he had to go through, and God had to make that separation happen. Mm-hmm. And so thinking through that. The other thing that I noticed was that even when we can't see the reality of the promise being fulfilled, God reinforced it for him. So he's, God, wait, you know, I don't have children. It's going to be my slave. And God reaffirmed for him, it's going to happen. And he was gracious in how he did it. And I pray constantly because I feel like I struggle with this. God, forgive me. And anybody who knows me and has experienced it, please forgive me. I feel like sometimes I just say it and I don't think about being gracious and trying to figure out how to get my words so that my words are gracious as I speak. And so God's gracious. And so he desires that within us. And I also wanted to point out that he gives a ceremony. Now, why do you think he did the ceremony at the end of Genesis 15, the covenant? Why do you think that was important for Abram?
Well, it's a cultural thing. They did the covenant like that between two people. And so God and Jesus always go back to the culture of the people so they understand it when they're using, in the parables, mm-hmm. they did it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, and it was he had him bring certain animals. Mm-hmm. And then they had to cut the animals in half, but he didn't with the birds because they were so small. And then typically it would be the person right. who's making
Two
the covenant
people.
That would mm-hmm. walk through, but only God did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important that he's pointing that out to Abram, like, I'm going to fulfill this, and mm-hmm. you can trust me. And so even though he has shown his righteousness by acting out in faith, God's affirming after he's had all these struggles. So at the beginning, he hadn't been through the struggles, but now he's been where he's had the battles with himself in partial obedience, the battles with the kings, the battle with lying about Sarai. Yeah, I mean, just all the stuff happening. And so God's firming things up with him. And so what he does at this point, God begins to show Abram what's going to happen to his people. And God lists out for him and wants him to see what's going to happen. And so then he takes him into revealing that the people, his descendants, are going to live as foreigners. He starts telling him what's going to happen. He starts telling him that they're going to be foreigners. And he tells him how long? Mm-hmm. 400 years.
I know.
400 years. And then he tells him, but don't worry, the enemy's going to be punished. And then this is the part, Greg always loves this, that he goes, but you'll go to sleep in peace. You know, it's like what Abram Ben is so obedient if he was going to be a part of that, you know. He tells him that your descendants are going to leave with the plunder of what's happening, and that they will return after they leave Egypt after 400 years, and that sin will be rampant among the Amorites, and so they shall remain the enemy of God. And so he tells him everything that's about to happen in the preparation, because God's wanting him to enter in. So he makes it very clear to Abram what's going to occur. And so there's no doubt for Abram it's going to be hard. And so I have had a lot of students in my office ask me, how do I know if I'm supposed to go to this school or this school? Because they're having to decide for their last year and helping people process that. And so going through the practical things of you need to look at your transcripts, you need to look at the finances, you need to look at scholarships honored. But after that, you just need to daily read the Bible. And when God affirms you with the Word of God, it's not going to matter how hard it gets. You'll be able to persevere because you will have heard it from the Word of God. And if you wait to hear it from the Word of God, when the struggle hits, it's not going to be hard. And because you will have had that, and you could trust and act in righteousness and move forward because God spoke to you through the Word. Mm-hmm. If you do it based off of emotion and or because so-and-so said it and you didn't wait to hear from God, that's when you're going to have struggle when the times hit hard. And so that's the way you protect yourself, is you make sure you're hearing it from the Word of God, because He will make it clear to us. Did you guys have anything else that you might have seen about God or the character of God as you were going through these that you would like for us to emphasize?
Well, in one of my notes, I thought it was interesting in this. It's talking about, picture this, and it's talking about the covenant. Mm-hmm. But it says, if I can find it, because of this, Yahweh's sovereign covenant with Abram, not an agreement between equals. Mm-hmm. Symbol of God, a smoking oven and a burning torch passed between those two pieces, but Abram did not. And I thought, that's so true. You know, He's not our equal. You know, He is above us. And I think He was showing Abram that right now.
Yeah. So the torching, the burning pot and the fiery torch, that is the deliverance and the power of God and the presence of God. Do you see how he's saying, these are the things I am covenanting, I'm going to give to you. My presence, my power, and my
changing presence. Yeah.
And so that's the gift that He's giving them. Okay, girls,
it's a great gift.
It is amazing. Anything that was standing out to y'all?
Just like God brought the torch through the covenant. It was like His signature on the covenant. And like when I think of signature, kind of like God signing something, I feel like, you know, He's given us the Holy Spirit. That's how He signed on us, that He's promised us with the Holy Spirit. And so, I don't know, seeing that kind of like made me think of the Holy Spirit, how God has signed, like put His signature on us through the Holy Spirit.
That's really good.
I like the signature. Like I think of, we don't go out very often to fancy restaurants, but they'll have their signature steak.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's supposed to be their best. And the reason why is when they say that, it is their best, and God's showing He's giving His best.
His best.
Yeah. How about you, Hannah?
Well, I just heard someone say, and I wrote it down in my Bible because it was just so impactful, but that the fact that Abraham couldn't be held to this covenant, like he would have failed, but the fact that like God made that promise with Himself that he could not break with Himself, and the fact that God would be slaughtered like the halved animals if humanity didn't stay loyal to that promise, and God kept His promise.
And He's faithful.
As Christ, and He was killed for us. So,
amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.